Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Things just keep getting worse for Bud Light and Budweiser now. And now it's spilled over into Anheuser-Busch's other products as Budweiser tries to roll out like an apology ad. This like super American, we love America, check out our horses. And it fell completely flat. This is working. There are more ways to make our voices heard than just the stock price, which has about stayed flat ever since all of this started. But we've also not seen any actual official reporting. I have some later today. So if you haven't yet and you're enjoying the coverage or you enjoy the meme intros, please always leave a like on the video and subscribe down below. Let's talk about the new ad that dropped, because it did not go well. They had to bring up imagery of the Hope Towers of Hope. They're like, oh, remember 9/11? Buy a Budweiser product. It was one of the most heinous displays I've ever seen. And this is what happens when a company gets woke. People finally have enough of it. Now, Budweiser slammed for back to the basics, patriotic Clydesdale ad released 2 weeks after Bud Light debacle that cost it $6 billion in market value and following the CEO's lukewarm apology. Budweiser has released a patriotic new ad featuring the iconic Clydesdale horses just 2 weeks after the Dylan Mulvaney Bud Light deal sparked huge backlash, but the public is not biting the bit. The one-minute spot was released on social media Friday and featured images of the iconic Clydesdales galloping across the country in open fields past landmarks, including Lincoln Memorial, the New York City skyline. A deep-voiced narrator says that Budweiser is a story bigger than beer as the horses race across the screen. It's a story of American spirit, he said. It's not. The ad for beer, which, like Bud Light, is also owned by Anheuser-Busch, appears to be a pivot to return to traditional values for the brand, which historically appeals to blue-collared American workers. This is stark difference to the Bud Light's doomed partnership with trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney, which ended in a lukewarm apology from the firm's CEO. However, users online slammed the ad as a pathetic attempt to right the ship that was permanently sent in the wrong direction with the Mulvaney partnership. This is the thing. This is hitting Main Street. All these leftoids online want you to think that it doesn't matter, that, oh, the stock came back a little bit, so you're... Trust me. I had aunts and uncles and in-laws bringing it up to me. They don't even watch my videos. They don't even watch... they're not terminally online. They're just like, oh, what's going on with this Bud Light thing? Jeez, I was trying to have a Bud Light and everyone was making fun of me. Like, it's, and again, I've got data later in another video to break down that shows it's down in something like 30% of bars. So my favorite advertisement by a mile was one of the comments says was the Clydesdales after 9/11. It was absolute perfection. After your embrace of the trans agenda, glorifying a man looking for his 15 minutes of fame by mocking women, I will never buy or serve your beer again. That's the thing. Like, is Budweiser and Bud Light going to go broke completely? No, of course not. There's a lot of people that just drink Bud Light because it's cheap or they're not online or they just don't care about this stuff. But it's having an impact. Is the horse trans now? Wrote radio host Dan O'Donnell. Nope, you guys destroyed your own base and market because you had to go woke. I'll never drink any of your products again. LOL, hard pivot, huh? Commentator Philip Holloway wrote, don't look now, Anheuser-Busch and Budweiser, but the Clydesdale has already left the barn. The train has sailed. The ship has left the station. I mean, the thing is, in one of the images, it has two people raising an American flag as one places her hand over her heart. As a flag is raised, narrator says, brewed for those who found opportunity and challenge and hope in tomorrow. Another shot in the ad shows downtown New York skyline where the Freedom Tower now stands instead of the World Trade Center. At the moment, the narrator says the word, remember. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you literally, I mean, and then again, this is why this doesn't, it's a feeding frenzy, all right? They're on the ropes, they're gassed. You know, and it's time to just keep pummeling them. Like, we had, 2 weekends of this now? The sales numbers indicate It's working. People are making other choices when it comes to their beer, mostly switching to Coors. From data that I found, now Coors is also woke, but it's, again, it's not Bud Light. So that's all you got to worry about right now. You can find the perfect beer kind of thing and figure out exactly what you want a little bit later. But for now, it's not Bud Light, and that's making a statement. I mean, you see, Fox Business. Budweiser releases new pro-America ad with iconic mascot in wake of Anheuser-Busch Mulvaney controversy. I mean, nobody is buying this. This is why one of the core tenets of like coffee brand coffee. It's why I literally called coffee brand coffee, because I'm like, I don't want any gimmicks. That's my gimmick. It's literally coffee. It's high quality coffee, and that's all we're ever going to talk about. Let's take a look at, by the way, Anheuser-Busch has suffered a financial hit as calls to the boycott brand have spread across the country, with one Missouri bar owner telling Fox Business last week that sales of Bud Light bottles dropped 30% while draft sales dropped 50%. Budweiser's famous Clydesdales, which have been a staple of the company's advertisement for decades, have also found themselves in the middle of a controversy. A Budweiser distributor in Missouri canceled all scheduled events to showcase the horses last week amid safety concerns for its employees. I mean, I don't think that, again, I think that that's a little too far. Now, the thing is, the commercial itself is fine. There's nothing inherently wrong with the commercial. We're going to take a look at it, too, because it's just people are not buying it. You could see Ali London. Budweiser releases pro-American ad 2 weeks after Dylan Mulvaney backlash. The new advert comes after Anheuser-Busch released a statement which failed to apologize for the backlash and instead talked about traditional values and being pro-America. I mean, you see here, Outkick writes, the story of American spirit. Anheuser-Busch is running a paid Budweiser ad campaign that paints the company as patriotic following Dylan Mulvaney disaster. So far, it seems to be failing. Anheuser-Busch is attempting to get back in the good graces of customers with a new Budweiser ad following the Dylan Mulvaney backlash, but it fell flat. Budweiser's official Twitter account is running a massive paid ad campaign for a pro-America video that attempts to tie America into the popular brand. I do not follow Budweiser, but it popped on my feed this morning with a promoted tag. You can see they're actually running, they're paying millions to promote this now. It says 35 million views. It has, as of Sunday morning, the Budweiser video is nearing 35 million impressions since being shared Friday afternoon. While it's impossible to know for sure, it seems largely a chunk of those impressions were paid because the beer brand has fewer than 275,000 followers. The ad features we already know. Clearly, the company's trying to tap into people who love the red, white, and blue. Those are in large part the exact people who don't want woke politics injected into beer. The beer powerhouse knows something must be done. It's obvious that Anheuser-Busch is not pleased with how the situation is playing out. Ever since Mulvaney dropped the Bud Light collaboration video, which painted the woman as too stupid to understand sports, the backlash has been intense and unrelenting. Sales are reportedly down. Anheuser-Busch has lost billions in market cap. Several celebrities have publicly dragged the beer brand, and Whitworth had to do something. Now Anheuser-Busch is claiming it loves America. People will quickly forget about the Dylan Mulvaney situation, however, it does not seem to be working. The comments are ruthless on the video, including many that are hidden. And that's a, you know, that's the other thing is like I'm telling you, they're going to end up just blocking people. They're going to have to block like 50,000 people, anybody who criticizes them. Otherwise, they have like no chance whatsoever to memory hole this. And I really don't think they're going to anyway, as long as we keep the pressure up. If you agree, leave a like on this video, share it to Twitter, share it to Facebook, share it out there. He said, comments, you're an abject embarrassment, a disgrace to your brand, a denigrator of women, and no one should drink your crappy products. So you pander to the 1% and woo, the rest of us with a commercial of how the other 99% of America grew. We aren't stupid. You messed up big time. Damage control in full swing. You see, you're an absolute joke. Embrace the suck, Budweiser. You're done. I thought this was a joke when it first said it. Is the horse trans? I mean, I don't know why Donald Trump Jr. opened his mouth and said something silly about this, but when you look at the actual Budweiser USA Twitter feed, it released this video. Again, it has, I guess, 12.8 million views on the video, but 52.5 million impressions. They have spent enormous money, millions and millions of dollars, most likely, to promote this ad on Twitter to try and offset And it's just got ruthlessly ratioed. It's their pinned tweet. It has 16,000 comments to barely 13,000 likes. And remember that every one of those likes is now seeing people absolutely dunking on this company. I'm not sure a lineup of B-roll footage and some guy throwing middle America buzzwords at us will win us back. And frankly, bringing 9/11 into this is kind of insulting. My favorite part of the advertisement, introducing the new Budweiser Clydesdale team. Yeah, that seems about right. Fire the woman who put Bud in this terrible spot, and maybe we'll believe this ad is authentic. Until you do, we're left to believe Horse identifies as a pink unicorn. That I would 100% agree with. Look, you've got to fire somebody, and maybe it's the CEO, but you know, heads have to roll, or you have to make a specific apology about it. Otherwise, people are not going to let this one go, and I'm absolutely here for it. Certainly, I'll have non-Bud Light-related topics today, but if you're enjoying the coverage, please do subscribe down below. Leave a like on the videos. Help spread the word. I'm doing what I can to keep the pressure up and to cut through the noise, because here's the thing. The stock increase is being touted by the left, to say, your boycott didn't work, even though it had dropped $6 billion and is still yet to recover all of that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing they're not telling you. The people that support this madness, this woke ideology, things like ESG score, if you can look up what that is, they're the ones buying up the stock right now. They're trying to cover up the actual damage. But I have reports from several local bars, reports from other bars in other states, distributors, and more that will prove that the boycott is working. Don't let them gaslight you. Don't let them push you into thinking that you're not making a difference, because you are. And the more you get involved with the videos, by leaving likes on them, by sharing them, by subscribing to people who are covering it, including myself, hopefully, you're making a huge difference. And I think this is, for the first time, people who are sick of this woke nonsense, who have had enough of it, are finally sustaining the pressure. We have to keep it up. And I'm going to give you some hope here, because we've got actual sales reports in multiple states, and it's down across the board in as many as 30 or 40% of bars, not to mention in grocery stores. Some sales numbers. Okay, I want to start with this tweet. Talk to a Bud Light sales beer salesman at the store today. He shared that he has never seen such non-movement of their products in 15 years. And even in rural communities, no product is being sold. The cooler was completely full of Bud products. Not one case was sold since yesterday at this particular food city. Please tell me rural America has no voice. Anheuser-Busch gets the message, gets it fast. That's how it is, at my local grocery store, too. Now let's talk about a survey that was done in Wyoming. Now this was, I believe, a survey of 14 different local bars, and how their sales may have been affected. Now it isn't quite as exciting on the front side of it. Like, you would hope that it would be more complete, but check this out. A Wyoming newspaper claims that more than a third of small town bars they surveyed are experiencing boycotts. The Bud Light beer company following the company's ad partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. More than a third is legitimate. Now, many people here, you know, people on the left are like, it's only a third. Yeah, right. If a company lost 30% of their sales, they would be panicking, and they are. That's why they released that cringe, oh, yeah, Budweiser, we're super American. Remember 9/11? Buy a beer. It was pathetic, okay? After finding bars throughout larger Wyoming towns were not experiencing a drop of Bud Light business, the Cowboy State Daily decided to go deeper and consult 14 bars in small towns. Their findings show that out of 12 bars that responded, 5 had seen changes in the amount of customers buying Bud Light, right? Ranging from barely discernible to very severe. So this is pocketed. You know, I think like people in New York, I mean, people in, first of all, people on the left that drink Bud Light probably don't care. Where are you going to find a lot of lefties? In big cities. This is a grassroots campaign, but this is, you know, just like the presidential election where people forget, you know, presidents are elected by, you know, Midwesterners, you know, like, you know, we matter still. They call us flyover states, but, you know, that's why the Electoral College system is so important. Otherwise, you know, every president would be elected by three cities. You know, and you go here, two of the four declined to comment. Seven of the 12 commented that they've seen no huge change in Bud Light sales since the controversy began. So, you know, that's a little disconcerting, but that just means we have more work to do. Lots more. It comes as Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, lost a whopping $6 billion in market cap in the wake of its partnership with Dylan Mulvaney back on April 1st. You see, K-Bar Saloon in Powell, Wyoming, said their sales of all Anheuser-Busch-owned products have gone down. Quote, "The beer was once the bar's top seller. It's now down to number two. Many customers have switched to Coors Light." And we're going to talk about that, too. And this is, I mean, this is the thing. People on Wall Street are seeing this too, right? The Turf Bar in Sundance, Wyoming reported that customers did pivot away from Bud Light, but stayed within Anheuser-Busch family with their new selection. That's still sales of Bud Light going down. "I've noticed a lot of people don't realize Corona and Michelob Ultra are made by Anheuser-Busch," said one bartender. Okay, well, hey, let them know. The Lucky Five Lounge in Shoshone said that multiple customers had switched, but Bud Light is still selling. Well, of course, I don't think that, and again, this is like the lefties perspective, like, oh, you didn't completely erase your sales, fail. You have here, you know, the Dylan Mulvaney became well known for his days of girlhood stuff. So, you know, Anheuser-Busch CEO Brendan Whitworth delivered a lackluster apology on Friday. "We never intended to be part of the discussion that divides people." Yeah, you did. Now, in a statement after initial blowback, the company tried to calm conservative consumers with a statement that did not work. And the thing is, like, people are, you know, they're doubling down, only enraged customers more. Onlookers now are criticizing the maneuver as a shameless publicity grab amid recent trend of companies going woke to better their bottom lines. It's not just their bottom lines. It's a whole web of things that happen with these, like, ESG scores. And there's a reason all these companies. Alyssa Heinerscheid, Budweiser Vice President of Marketing, previously stoked the flames of controversy by saying she had made a mandate to update the brand's, quote, "fratty and out-of-touch image." "I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job. We know everything," she said, you know. But let's look at some of the other thing that's happening here. Coors, the alternative stock, surges amid Bud Light boycott. "But I thought we weren't having any kind of effect. I thought people weren't switching to Coors. I thought the left keeps posting this InBev, the InBev stock, saying, oh, see, it came back, so you lose." No. We don't lose because, the people that are investing in it are this is the benefit of going woke, right? But wait till the sales. We're already seeing, like, look, maybe the sales don't change drastically in Miami Beach, okay? Or maybe they don't change drastically in Detroit, although it should. All these small town bars add up. They're what make the thing go. You see, perhaps as a result of pledges to change brands, Molson Coors, parent company of Coors Light, has seen an uptick in the New York Stock Exchange. On March 31st, before Mulvaney announcement, the company's stock was trading at $51.68. As of Friday, the stock was trading at $55.97, an 8.3% increase. Except it's even more than that. If you look at today, it's up another 1.5%. So if you, over the last 5 days, you know, you've up 7%. I guess if I was a stock buyer, I would have probably figured out, you know, people are, they have to switch to something, right? Wyoming News Sites finds that more than a third of small town bars surveyed are experiencing Bud Light boycotts. Well, that makes sense because small towns are generally lean Republican or centrist, I suppose, apolitical. And, you know, a third is good. It is very good. And also, I don't know what the actual percentage breakdown is, but let's not forget the grocery stores, right? They sell a lot of cans to consumers direct. And we see suppliers coming out and saying, oh, well, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. You see, Bud Light fiasco should wake up corporate America to drop all wokery. This is on Friday. You know, their apology, pathetic. At best, it's a confession of sheer out-of-touch idiocy. Shipping the influencer a case of beer cans bearing Dylan Mulvaney's face in hopes that they'd share joy was guaranteed to backfire. But like execs have already admitted, the stunt was a bid to buy some profile with young people. But her followers are a tiny, self-centered sliver of the larger public. People amused by the former man prancing around as a parody of girlhood. It only deeply siloed progressives, including President Joe Biden's handlers, size, who've concluded that Dylan worship is the it thing. Any marketing manager should know better and realize how badly appealing to wokery would annoy its brand's existing customers. Well, the thing is, you know, as a business, you know, as I am, you know, with Coffee Brand Coffee, I know that it's important to keep your customers. That's why when I say, just give us a try, and if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back. Not a lot of people stand behind their product like that. I do because I want my customers to keep coming back and buying more. It's the same thing with Bud or with Marlboro or any of the, well, really anything, right? Toilet paper, you know, paper towel. The fact of the matter is, more than a third of bars, you see John Rich removes Bud Light from his entire restaurant and his beer and his bar's beer can flag. He's just gone. It's not available in a huge bar in Nashville. An American flag was draped over the wall while the coverings were being applied to Bud Light cans. While the stars were in place, a staffer removed the American flag, revealing the altered beer can flag display. The group of about 30 patrons at the restaurants applauded, yelling, with a few yelling, F Bud Light. Other patrons lauded his decision. Because they had Bud Light cans to make the American flag there, and they just removed it. I mean, there will be more bars. And look, this is free advertising too, right? There's a guy who's totally grifting on this with his like ultra-right conservative beer, which, meh, you know, you should buy products because they're good. But this is great. I mean, these changes are happening. If people just keep the pressure up and keep reminding other people, you know, that what's going on, this is working. The Dylan Mulvaney backlash now for Bud Light has now reached a new level of insanity. Now, even the wokies, the left, the mainstream media, now they're mad at Bud Light. This is a perfect storm of get woke, go broke. I talked about earlier today how even Coors Light's stock is skyrocketing because so many people are switching. So many on the left are pretending that this is a tempest in a teapot and no one's actually boycotting it. But as you've seen in my first two videos today, I showed you actual results and data where sales are down, albeit small currently. I suspect we'll see more later. But now even the wokies are mad at Bud Light, and it couldn't have happened to a more deserving target. Here we go with the left's backlash. What Bud Light's tepid response to anti-trans backlash against Dylan Mulvaney says about brand's commitment to LGBTQ issues. Essentially, they're saying, well, you didn't stand up for Dylan Mulvaney. Instead, you went full radio silence, and we're not happy with that. You're supposed to have gone down, sunk with the Titanic, continued playing. You're the band. You keep playing while the Titanic sinks. Otherwise, we're going to be mad at you. And now that's exactly what happened. This isn't even in Times. This is a Bloomberg published an article on this, as well as other sources, that they're mad that Bud Light even offered what can only be described as one of the worst non-apologies in history. A recent partnership between prominent trans influencer Dylan Mulvaney And Bud Light prompted anti-trans backlash from conservatives. And again, by the way, let me say this. My beef is with Bud Light for hiring. There will always be weirdos out there in the world, okay? Somebody at Bud Light made the decision to hire Dylan Mulvaney knowing exactly everything that came with it. And they still chose. So, you know, I don't support people like, you know, brigading Dylan's page. Dylan is a brilliant grifter, okay? I believe that Dylan figured out after a lifelong search of fame. Look, if you can look it up, the Dylan has been searching for fame. He's been on game shows, all these weird, trying to get famous basically his entire life. He finally figured out that this is a way to do it. And the machine is rewarding him. Many people are also wondering about certain other popular YouTubers that are doing it too. You know, it's just, I'm not sure that Dylan has done anything to actually convince me that they actually want to transition outside of, you know, playing a caricature of women. But the left has to defend everybody and never call out any of those things. Of course, Mulvaney, some have criticized Bud Light for not adequately defending her, according to Time, and not being more vocal in support for the community. Mulvaney partnered with Bud Light earlier this month and made a sponsored Instagram post for the beer that showed a custom can featuring her face, his face. The post was quickly bombarded with hateful comments and threats to boycott the company. Okay, first of all, again, I would prefer people aim their ire at the companies that keep hiring these people, because there will be another Dylan Mulvaney. There is always going to be another Dylan Mulvaney. Online criticism has grown over Bud Light's quiet retreat following the backlash. The incidents prompted further conversation about how the companies treat queer representation in their marketing. Benjamin Ryan writes, Anheuser-Busch caves to the pressure of a massive campaign against the company after it used trans influencer, I don't know if there's, after they used Dylan Mulvaney as a spokesperson for Bud Light. Read between the lines of this statement and you can see a company running scared and kicking Mulvaney to the curb. Well, maybe. In advertising, pinkwashing refers to corporations appropriating LGBTQ+ symbolism to promote their brands or products without committing to support queer equality financially or legally. Well, I'm pretty sure they gave Dylan Mulvaney a huge check. I think that's pretty financially supportive. And you see, the clash is stark with anti-trans discrimination. You know, I think if you can't even get a tattoo till you're 18, I think it's not that insane to say maybe you can't cut off your body parts till you're 18. I think that that's fair. You know, you can't even drive a car till you're 16, but we got parents taking their kids in for double mastectomies before that, okay? So I think it's very reasonable to say, all right, once you're 18, if you can serve in the military and you can go fight and die for your country, then you can go ahead and do that, all right? But I think it's safe to protect kids from their parents who, in many cases, at least in my opinion, are more interested in social media fame than protecting their kids. But, you know, of course, we all know, in a statement to Time, Anheuser-Busch says, you see, how have other companies handled similar controversies? How to tell if the company's response is sincere? Queer activists and groups suggest looking closely into how the company treats their own employees. For example, looking at the benefits a company's offer and this, that, and the other thing. Although such information isn't always public or can be hard to access, Wagner recommends that consumers interested in queer-friendly brands can follow a growing class of activist influencer educators. Wow, that's a fancy title. It's like calling a garbage man a trash removal engineer or whatever. You're just some weirdo online, just like me, all right? So you have all of these things are now, by the way, now, I mean, there certainly are people within the LGBTQ community that knew that mainstream press and corporations were pandering to them, especially obvious during Pride Month, right? Does Skittles really care about LGBTQ stuff, or do they care about running an ad and saying, oh, we removed all the colors from our Skittles and we made white pride Skittles for LGBTQ Pride Month, which is a thing they actually did. They didn't call it white pride, but you know, that's how it looked, right? I don't think Skittles actually cares. I don't think Nike actually cares. If Nike cared about the LGBTQ community, they wouldn't be using caricatures like Dylan Mulvaney to sell sports bras. That does not paint that community in a good light. I think If you want to show me you care about that community, then you paint it in a good light. You don't use a grifter like Dylan Mulvaney. You see this piece from Bloomberg, where it's a 3-minute video basically saying that Bud Light didn't back up Dylan Mulvaney enough, that they left Dylan out to dry. And I suppose, you know, that's true. You see here, Anheuser-Busch criticized for a statement appearing to, quote, apologize for Dylan Mulvaney, you know, Bud Light campaign. I mean, I don't think that their statement was an apology. I think their statement was, how can we say literally nothing? That's what the statement read to me. Anheuser-Busch, a producer of Budweiser beers, is facing criticism from liberals and progressives for apparently trying to smooth things over with transphobic conservatives that boycotted the product. Brendan Whitworth, also former CIA operative, issued a statement on Saturday, well, it was actually Friday, a week after conservative backlash to his product. I don't think I'm a conservative. I don't think it's a necessarily conservative thing either. I think it's just, you know, people have had enough of the insanity. Seeing a trans influencer's face on a can of beer triggered conservatives, inspiring some to film videos of themselves getting rid of the product, which we all know. You see, Kevin Schroff says, pathetic statement from Anheuser-Busch. To be clear, they sent a trans influencer personalized cans of Bud Light. That's not dividing people. Caving to these hateful bigots is what divides our country. Shame on you, Brendan Whitworth. Epic leadership fail. This is the left. This is what's great. Ben Collins, right? He's from NBC. He's one of the, he's a loser from NBC or MSNBC. Lies all the time. Bud Light caves to a mob that was running over its product for giving a 1-minute sponsored Instagram post to a trans person. Yeah, mainstreammedia.exe. Let's remove all the context from it whatsoever and pretend like that's what it was. That it wasn't the reaction of people who have been having this crap shoved in their face for months and months and months and months and months. Like it could have been just, by the way, it could have just easily been Nike. All right. There was definitely a backlash against Nike. It could have been them. It was going to be somebody because people were getting sick of it. You know, like people are getting sick of it. You see, the Washington Post writer writes, I'm sure people literally running over Bud Light cans and driving over cases in their truck will be satisfied with this and start acting reasonably. Great job. Yeah, I mean, again, I have to assume that, you know, Bud Light thought this was an apology, that they thought this was going to quell everything, but it was not an apology. It was a nothing statement that did nothing and said nothing because they were worried about making the left mad by abandoning Dylan Mulvaney, and they still managed to do that. So the left hates them and the right hates them, and all of this because they couldn't just sell the hot dog. This is like what when I wake up in the morning and I'm like, man, there's so much work to do for like coffee brand coffee, you know? It's like what keeps me in line is like, man, there needs to be more products out there. People just sell the product and you don't have to do this crap. And this, you know, to be totally honest with you, well-deserved backlash. It could have been anyone. I'm fine with it being Bud Light. Boycott continues until further statement. I don't know if we're ever going to hear anything more on this. It'll be interesting to see if we do. Now, if we do, obviously, that means sales are probably down. If they double down and stand with Dylan, then we'll probably know that sales went up. But based on what we're seeing, based on what I talked about in the first two videos today, I don't think we're going to be getting any votes of confidence from Budweiser and Bud Light management. What a wild week of news already. I hope you're enjoying the coverage. If you are, please do make sure you leave a like on the video. I'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe. Now, we saw a lot of the imagery around, you know, I want to bring this back a little bit because I feel like it's gotten brushed under the Dylan Mulvaney insanity, but there is a serious issue going on right now where there's rhetoric from both sides, I believe, that are gassing each other up, right? by the way, where's the Tranifesto, right? Remember Nashville, and they said the FBI was going to release it. Where is it? Are they still working on an edit for it? There's all sorts of rhetoric. Remember, they had the Day of Vengeance, all that kind of stuff planned. It kept escalating. And a lot of these activists, in my opinion, are unhinged lunatics. In my opinion. Obviously, I don't know that for a fact. And they're the ones that aren't ever really in the middle of it. It's the next unhinged person that follows them, listens to them, believes every word they say is true. They go out and commit an act, or they do something that gets them put in jail. This is very true of people like Shaun White, in my opinion, on Twitter. And, you know, these people that never leave Twitter, but are gassing people up all the time to go do insane things. Well, there was this weapon-toting trans activist who went a little bit too far. Pew-pew-toting trans activist fired from job with Colorado Forest Service following viral video. Interesting. On March 29th, trans Twitter user Kayla Denker went viral after posting a short video showing himself loading a weapon and posing with it menacingly. The clip, which was initially uploaded earlier this month, was captioned, "While advocating for trans people to arm ourselves, not any kind of solution to the terrible things we're facing, I do want to say that if any of you transphobes do try to come for me, I'm taking a few of you with me." Again, this is like wild, aggressive, over-the-top rhetoric, isn't it? It's like both sides, where you have like regular, normal people, and then these people who are like, "You're trying to end my existence. I'm going to arm myself to protect myself against you." Okay. Denker's video began circulating widely just days after what happened in Nashville. Obviously, it was perpetrated by a female who identified as transgender, left six people no longer with us, despite the fact that non-transgender people have been were targeted in that event. Many trans activists took to social media to complain that the event was going to result in a quick uptick of bad behavior against them. As a result, many activists called for arming of trans people, claiming they were facing impending systematic removal. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Again, this is like one of those things where it's like the rhetoric, you know, the rhetoric is what is so wild to me, that it just continues to escalate. They're going to push for this so hard now in the coming months. It's vital to arm yourself now. Instead of, you know, getting out there and voting or working on this kind of stuff, you know, you're talking about arming yourselves. A direct action event, which called for the Trans Day of Vengeance, was also planned for April 1st, with the call for trans people to gather in Washington, D.C., but was canceled after organizers complained that the risks of the event moving forward in the wake of the incident in Nashville were too high. Posters related to the event were censored by Twitter, and users who circulated the graphic, even for commentary, found their accounts locked rapidly in a statement on the matter. By the way, this is via Redux, from the Redux team, wrote that the company perceived the graphic as incitement, or because of the word vengeance does not imply peaceful. We know that. Following the incident, Denker's video was met with overwhelming backlash. The video garnered attention from Newsweek, the Daily Mail, and the latter outlet revealed that Denker was reportedly a former U.S. Army soldier. What a coincidence. Known previously as Adam Denker, had once created, quote, educational videos for YouTube teaching his audience about weapons, ammo, and more. Denker put his Twitter account on private after being inundated with negative attention, but created a public account in an effort to inform people that he had posted his video prior to the event in Nashville, and to claim that he never intended to threaten anyone, despite the caption affixed to the video. Yeah, if it isn't the consequences of my actions, or whatever the case may be, right? On the 14th, Denker tweeted that he had been fired from his job within the United States Forest Service in Colorado as a result of the attention the video had gotten from mainstream media outlets. In the tweet, he wrote, "I was fired by the Biden administration for being a trans woman that owns a weapon." The U.S. Forest Service is an agency of the Public Department of Agriculture and provides oversight and administration for the country's national forests and grasslands. In another tweet, Denker accuses an employee fairly high up in the Department of Agriculture for being responsible for his termination, and stated his immediate manager was sympathetic and tried to stop the dismissal. Of course, Denker quickly launched a GoFundMe requesting $5,000 in financial assistance to, quote, survive. The fundraiser currently sits at $4,600 at the time of this week, of course. By the way, they raised it more than once since then. Just to survive. I mean, like, I just can't, you know, it's actually insane. And you know what also is funny? They're using the money for medical procedures. I can't thank every one of you enough. You've helped me more than words can express. Since I have exceeded my goal and I'm still receiving donations, I increased by goal, typo, to $12,000. Everything I get from here on out will go to the cost of living expenses. But if I can get another $7,000, I'll be able to get a tracheal shave, which will improve my life in a way that you could never understand. What? What? Denker supplemented his claims of having been terminated by uploading a scanned copy of the letter from his employer detailing the reasons behind their action. While Denker censored all his personal information, he left the name of the member of the public who reported him uncensored in the letter, of course. It's unclear why Denker was provided the personal information of the woman who reported him. That does seem odd to me. This says, on March 29th, a member of the public identified as blank, Redux clearly, censored it, contacting management about the concern. You, as an employee of the Forest Service, were advocating for bad behavior. They identified in a post online you were employed with the Forest Service in Denver, Colorado. The specific Twitter post included a photo of you, racking your... This is... First of all, generally, I don't think you should be fired for social media posts. This is probably a tough one, because if they, I guess you got to look into if they were inciting, or if they have any kind of internal bylaws or, anything like that. But it's interesting. It's interesting to see, some consequences there. He says the investigation, they wrote, I worked for the government. The government is punishing you because it doesn't like what you said, or because they don't like you having these things, is literally what a violation of your First and Second Amendment rights is, Denker wrote in response to someone criticizing behavior. Well, I think when you put out that kind of content, of course you're going to grift off of it. You shouldn't really be that surprised. You really shouldn't be that surprised when people are concerned about it. You're going to start to see more of this stuff as the Gen Z group of kids start growing up and start wanting to be YouTubers. And I don't think they probably want to be TikTok stars nowadays. YouTube is like passe. But the kids won't even know what passe means. But parents, there's always this hunger for, just like you had, there's a reason child stars grew up. Many times ended up totally messed up. Their parents get addicted to the money and the fame. Remember when Macaulay Culkin famously like divorced his parents when he was like 15 or something like that, emancipated himself. So you have all sorts of bad parents. And this particular mom of YouTube star Piper Raquel, never heard of, I assume they make kids content, gets sued for $22 million by 11 other kids. From her daughter's, quote, squad, who claimed that she had them making those kind of videos for adults and even sold her kids' drawers to some creepo online. The mother of YouTube star Piper Raquel, who is 15, is facing claims that she emotionally and physically did bad things with the youngins, including putting her hands on them, even mailing her daughter's drawers to a male fan so he could sniff him. In a complaint filed in January 2022, 11 kids from the Piper Squad say that Tiffany Smith, the mom, would inflict distress and urge minors to try oral and wear revealing. I just like, how do I keep this family friendly? And revealing clothes to accentuate bulges in videos posted online. Smith, who allegedly bragged that she makes kitty videos, encouraged the kids to be spicy, subjected them to harassment, putting their hands on them, according to the complaint. Sawyer Charbino, I'm not going to name all these kids, are all asking for $2 million each from Smith and her boyfriend, Hunter Hill. Wow. Raquel has more than 10 million subscribers. This shows you that, like, there are parts of YouTube you're never going to get to. You're just never going to see these type of videos. You know, Raquel has more than 10 million subscribers on YouTube. And some outlets report her net worth is somewhere in the range of $3 million. I would predict 10 million subscribers. It is significantly more than that. Significantly more. So let's see. Let's see what kind of last to stop kissing their boyfriend today we are makes $10,000 couples challenge. This is gross. And by the way, this video has 10 million views. 10 million views. This person is worth many, 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 many millions of dollars. Now, the views certainly aren't going as well, but still averaging 600,000. Here's one for 1 million views. Last to get grounded challenge. Yeah, this is content for teens, right? But, like, again, I don't understand. These must be other teenagers watching this content. It's obviously not for me. But what the, I mean, the mom just obviously is addicted to the fame. According to the defendant, Smith would purposely exploit the kids on her daughter's YouTube page and make increasingly disturbing comments to them. In the nearly 150-page complaint, the group of teenagers and children describe the type of things that the mom would do. The group called the YouTube stage name Stage Mom a mean-spirited control freak and say she often made uncomfortable comments about them and their private body parts. Haas was allegedly asked by Smith whether or not his balls have dropped yet or how long is it. What? That's sick. I get like the balls have dropped thing, like comment maybe between guys. I remember being like, oh, you finally your ball. That's not obviously what they were going for. They say she would make obscene remarks about their junk, encourage them to be provocative and aggressive in the bed. One video posted to the YouTube channel 2 years ago featured 18s in a last to stop kissing game where $10,000 was offered to the winners. That video currently has 10 million views. The self-proclaimed madam of YouTube, according to the complaint, was also allegedly told Fergie that she had no chest and that she was so flat. I'm assuming that's one of the kids. One of the 11 defendants also claimed that Smith mailed her own daughter's undergarments to an unknown man and said, old men like to smell this stuff. Oh. This is the problem. You know, you have this immense draw. I've 10 million views on a video. That's family friendly. I'm not even sure what that would look like for money. $100,000. Maybe. I don't even know. You know, because I live obviously in a far different space on YouTube where we get the peanuts that are left over. First of all, it's sad that 10 million kids watch this content because it is not appropriate for them. It's second of all, very sad that the mother facilitated producing this content because, again, it is also not appropriate. Thirdly, it would appear pretty clearly that this woman is a creep. She allegedly instructed young boys to take their shirts off and said that, you know, it's attractive. asking one of the girls if she knew what some sort of bedroom toy was for. According to the group, she would also assume the alter ego Frank the Pug or Lenny the Cat shout out explicit phrases to the kids. I'm going to F you in the A. I'm going to... What the heck? At one point, the mother, as her alter ego, said to Fergie, I wonder, since this squad member has freckles, whether or not he has a bunch of other freckles in other spots of his... What in the... So this mom is just a degenerate. I mean, that's what it seems like. It also seems like these kids are probably being a little bit opportunistic and suing for, you know, maybe, you know, some additional money. But these are just kids. Why does she have a belly button pierce? She's 15. Where I live, you have to be 18 to get that done. Like, that's, gross, dude. It's stuff like this. It's times like this. It's times like this where I would be 100% fine with YouTube deleting the channel. 100% fine with it. This is a mom that is exploiting her kid and I guess her other kids. Sure, the kids get famous. Sure, they probably get some money and whatever. But they don't really know. They're still, you know, young. They're still underage. You know, like... This is not, also, obviously, this content is not appropriate. Not only are the plaintiffs accusing the mom of misconduct, but they claim they faced a monetary loss because of dirty tactics Smith used to sabotage their personal accounts. Smith would allegedly post links to the plaintiff's YouTube channel, YouTube accounts on spicy sites, which would cause viewers from the adult-only site to click and watch. Then it would get flagged by YouTube, causing the algorithm to believe the content on the teen's video were inappropriate. Wow. I never heard of that. Piper, who currently is in the middle of her worldwide The Piper tour, was last on stage in Oklahoma City on April 8th, but her next performance will be in Vancouver on June 3rd. Performance? Doing what? I just want peace back with my kids. Rocksmith said in an interview, the mom also said she wants action to be taken on YouTube's policies regarding the kids and their accounts. I want all predators who hurt young kids to be brought to justice. I also hope we move the needle on the platforms that are allowing this. Great. This is going to be another one of those cases where this one woman and her, you know, exploitative account is going to ruin it for everyone else. One video posted when Raquel was 10 featured her handcuffed to her boyfriend for 24 hours. That video received 4.4 million views. Great. I mean, why does she have a boyfriend at 10? Like, oh God, this is like the Kim Kardashian effect. Look at this. Like, this is just a kid and you did this thumbnail. This kid's going to be scarred for life too. You know, like this, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, again, money. I'm sure that's the root of all of this. But what the mom's doing is obviously predatory and creepy. Why there feels like there should be criminal charges, not just a civil case to me. Where you have money, you'll always have this kind of stuff. And this mom seems like a total creep to me. But if what they say is true, I suppose. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you leave a like on it. And we'll talk to you again real soon.